الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم وصدق المولانا الكريم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضاً أمتي هذه أمة مرحومة ليس عليها عذاب في الآخرة عذابها في الدنيا الفتن والزلازل والقتل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending durood and salam to our guide and mentor, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath from all of us. Many of us do not remember this oath, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. It is known as the oath of Alast, Ahde Alast, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned all the souls. Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And all the souls that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created, all the arwah, the ruh of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that intended to come into this world, were all created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned them. And all the souls answered in unison, Qulu bala, that indeed you are our Lord, you are Allah, you are our Creator. So this is known as Ahdi Alast. So the ulama explained that insan, we had three stages of parts of our journey after we were created. The first part was when we were in the realm of souls, alam-e arwah. How long we stayed there, we have no idea. We don't know how long we were there, we can't recollect what happened there. This is one example of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath from us. So Allah reminds us that you're going to come into this world. I'm going to send you to fulfill a certain objective. Do not let it be such that you forget. قَالُوا إِنَّا نَسِينَا, that we will say that we forgot because of our occupations, because of getting occupied in our daily routines. So that was the first stage of our journey, the realm of souls. And the second stage of our journey was alam ad-dunya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed at a certain time, at a certain place, to certain type of parents, we will be born. We had no choice in this matter. None of us chose to be this color, this height, to speak this language, or to be born in a certain family. We had absolutely no choice in this. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's supreme decision, which nobody can question. And then we were sent into this world. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us certain objectives. We needed to fulfill these objectives. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena, that today I've perfected your deen. And I'm complete. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati, and I have completed my favors upon you. Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena, and I'm happy that this way of life for you I've chosen is Deenul Islam. Which the practical example is our beloved guide and mentor, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world. Our creator, Khalik, Malik, who is perfect in every aspect, sent us into this world which by no means is close to perfection. So for us, we've come into a place where we have to do certain things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create us perfect, then there would be nothing for us to do in this world. There would be no test. And if there was no test, there would be no consequence. There would be no reward for it or no punishment for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us like that. What is specific purpose? So in this world, we don't know how long we're going to stay. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something to this effect. أَعَمَارُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ قَلِلٌ مَّا تَجَاوَزَ مِنْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامِ, that the lifespan of my ummati, of my ummah, will be between 60 and 70 years. بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ قَلِلٌ مَّا تَجَاوَزَ مِنْ, very few will exceed that time. So we've got, we're not sure, some die early, some die late, but average ummah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, age of the ummah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, between 60 and 70 years. Now we've come into the world, we'll have lots of tests and challenges. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, that definitely, definitely I will test you. With a little bit of fear, will you, sometimes I will test you with hunger, وَنَقْسِمْ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and a decrease in wealth, وَالْأَنْفُسِ, and sometimes I will take away your loved ones, وَالْثَمَرَاتِ, and your fruits, your crops, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those that are patient. Last week, Friday, was a sad time, sad moment for us as Muslims, where at this time in Jummah, 49 of our brothers and sisters were martyred, made shuhada. And a week has now passed. Has it had any effect on us? Or was it just temporary? Like how we go to our own family or relatives' janazah, and it doesn't change my life in the least. I go in the qabr, I put my loved one down, cover them with sand, come back, mourn for 3 days, and then life as usual. Has this 1 week been the same for us? Or has it given us an opportunity to take stock of my life? Most of us on social media, we would have seen and read about the way the community of New Zealand have galvanized together, the non-Muslims, the outpouring of support, the financial aid, the new gun laws in New Zealand, all these things have happened in a short space, unprecedented, from non-Muslims. Now we as Muslims, that it has affected, how has that tragedy affected us? Am I still waking up the same? Going to my daily routine, coming back and sleeping the same, without any change in my life? When the non-Muslims have consciously taken it upon themselves to change many things the way they treat us. As I said, unprecedented. We Muslims are being, as we say, we've become the enemy by default. You don't have to look like a Muslim anymore. You don't have to wear a beard or wear a turban or a kurta. If anything that resembles you like a Muslim, you will be targeted. At the airports, in those different countries for searches, for interrogation, you will be targeted. Make no mistake about it. And it's not going to get any easier. Because if we look at it, all the other different faiths have crumbled on this onslaught. Whether it's Christianity, Judaism, all of them have crumbled. There is only one faith that is standing in the way of Shaitan. And West is not our enemy. This happened in the West. There are many Muslims in the West. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly defines who our enemy is. Inna shaytana lakum aduwwun mubeen. Indeed, Shaitan is your open enemy. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Take him as an open enemy. Do not be complacent. Do not be complacent against Shaitan. Because he is confirmed Jahannami. What he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. First of all, does not acknowledge his sin of disobedience to Allah. So what he says? فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Allah, you made me go astray. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. You sent me astray. He doesn't say, no, it was my pride and arrogance. So still no acknowledgement. So what he says? He made a wa'ada, a promise to Allah. لَأَقْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit on the path, on every path that leads to you, and waylay your servants. لَأَقْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَالِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will attack them from the front, from the back, from the sides. You will find very few of them that will be grateful to you. Very few of Allah's servants will be grateful to Him for His ni'mat. So as I was saying, many of the non-Muslims have taken conscious steps to change their dealings with us. How have we changed? What have I done that's different? We are on a journey. Every day that passes, our journey gets shortened, our life gets shortened. Our capital wealth that we have, which is our life, every day that passes, our capital wealth gets less. Have I made a conscious decision that I am going to change? So somebody will say, you know, these Maulanas are so dogmatic. He's talking of New Zealand and he's still saying, you know, you must make 5 times Salah. We need to hold a conference somewhere. Get all the think tanks together. The people that were dogmatic before us conquered the world. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We are not anywhere near them. We can't touch the dust of the hoofs of their horses. They were ardent followers on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because they were so strict in their conformance to the Sharia and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the world subservient to them. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, more than half the known world was conquered by the Muslims. Up to the time of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the year 90, after Hijrim, all the lands that the Muslims went to, they conquered. Over 20 million square kilometers, plus minus. They were ardent followers of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the height of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafah, when they just heard that the army of the Muslims are coming towards the Byzantines, the Romans, some of them out of fear fled the battlefield, whereas their numbers were always more than the Muslims. Just they heard the Muslims are coming, packed it up and disappeared. Just on hearing the Muslims come. And what struck fear and awe in their hearts? It was their conformance and their obedience to Allah, to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say dogmatic, these were the sahaba. Ulaika ashabu Muhammadin. Man kana mustannan falyastannu biman kad mat. If you want to follow a way of life, if you want to choose an example, falyastannu biman kad mat. This is a saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, if you want to choose a life, all of us are looking for role models. We ask us, who's our role model? I'm a teacher in a school. Every young child says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when you introspect and you do a little inspection, it is because they know what answer we want to hear. So if I ask you, who's your role model? Nobody will say somebody else, you know. Being a Muslim and you don't say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a problem. But then just inspect in our life, how much of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we have in our life. We just need to inspect, that's all we have to do. Istafti qalbak, here we're not judging anybody. Our job is to judge ourselves. Ask our own hearts, istafti qalbak, ask ourselves. How close am I to the sunnah of my beloved Nabi? The one who I profess to love, the one who I will die for. His sunnah, how much of it I have in my life. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud is saying, if you want to choose a role model, فَلْيَسْتَنُّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ. Choose a role model of a person who has passed away. Why? فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمِنْ وَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because the living, you don't know when the test of Allah will be so severe and they'll turn away. One heavy test came and your guru, your peer, your sheikh, suddenly fell down and you say, my whole life I followed this man, you lose all hope. فَإِنَّ الْهَيْءِ لَا تُؤْمِنُ وَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ When Allah's test comes, if you haven't prepared, no. I like the saying of this one person, he say, invest in yourself so much that when it's time to make a withdrawal, you have sufficient within you. Invest in our spirituality so much when there's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that withdrawal does not take us off the path of Allah. It only brings us closer. So he said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ Who are those role models you're looking for? Are the Sahaba. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ أَبَرُّهَا قُلُوبًا They had the most purest of hearts. وَأَعْمَقُهَا عِلْمًا And they had the most in-depth knowledge of their deen. Bedouins, farmers, whatever you want to call them, ask them anything of the deen, in-depth knowledge. They had in-depth knowledge of how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَكَلُّهَا تَكَلُّفًا Three qualities. And he said, to translate it loosely, they were the most uncomplicated people. I don't know what's the proper word for takalluf. But most uncomplicated. Put them with the kings, they would survive. Put them with the paupers, they would survive. Put them where technology was, they would survive. Any situation you put a sahabi, he survived. And not did he only survive, he changed the conditions of the people around him. He was muathir, and not muathir. He changed people and the environment. He was not changed by the environment. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَبِأَيِّمْ اِحْتَرَيْتُمْ اِحْتَرَيْتُمْ Any one of them you choose, you'll be rightly guided. So respected brothers and elders, we have this test, this life that we have. We need to focus. We need to understand the second leg of our journey. As I was mentioning, the third leg of our journey is the Akhirah. And after everything said and done, there's only two places that we will end up on this journey. Everybody's on a journey, you have a final destination in mind. Nobody goes in a destination without not knowing where he wants to end up. We are on a journey. We've come from Alam al-Arwah, we come to Alam al-Dunya, then we're going to Alam al-Akhirah, the Akhirah, the year after. And we have to end up somewhere. There's only two places we can end up. Jannah or Jahannam. How long we're going to stay in the year after or in the Qabr, Alam al-Barzakh, before we get our questioning, nobody knows. Go to the Qabristan, look at some of the dates. Some of them are 60 years there already. Older than what we are. Some of the 80, 100 years, they're still there. The Qiyamah hasn't started. We don't know how long we're going to be there. Have we prepared for that time? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to think of this world and he used to say this couplet, غُرِّي غَيْرِي قَدْ بَتَتُكِ ثَلَاثِ He said, oh dunya, go and deceive somebody else. غُرِّي غَيْرِي Go to somebody else, don't come to me. You know why? قَدْ بَتَتُكِ ثَلَاثِ I have given you three talaqs. We know what is the ruling of three talaqs. You can't get married again. That wife of yours is now haram for you. So what do you used to tell the dunya? قَدْ بَتَتُكِ ثَلَاثِ I have given you three talaqs. You've got no place here by me. سَفَرٌ طَوِيلٌ Who is saying this, Hazrat Ali? I have a long journey ahead of me. وَزَادٌ قَلِيلٌ I have very few provisions. And what were the provisions? The A'mal al-Salih. So this is the three stages of our journey. Alam al-Arwah, Alam al-Dunya, and the year after. We've all now passed that first stage. No idea how long it was. We took a pledge with Allah. And we said, oh Allah, you are our Lord. Allah astu bi rabbikum qalu bala. Shahidna. We bear testimony to that, that you are our Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us into the world. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent with us, shaitan. Here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a definite average of our lifespan. 60 to 70 years. We're not sure how long or how short our life. It's decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have the year after. So our life is getting less as the day passes. As I mentioned, that the non-Muslims have taken lesson from the events that took place last week. What lesson are we going to take? We need to be conscious in what we do. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of the muhaddithin start their hadith kitabs with this hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That every action will be judged according to its intention. What does it mean? You know, there was a survey, I attended a workshop once, and the presenter said, how much of actions of men is done consciously or unconsciously? The question asked us, we're now thinking about it. He said 20%, 30% is done unconsciously. And the survey showed that 80% of what we do is unconscious. I jump in my car. I put the keys in. I turn the switch. First gear, second gear. Do I need to be told about it? I'm unconscious about it. I know it has to be done like that. Unless suddenly a taxi turns in front of me and I'm awake. Then I know he hit the brakes. Now I'm very conscious. Otherwise, we eat. Am I doing it conscious? We go through the motions. Put my shoes on. And 80% of our actions are done unconsciously. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Let us be conscious of what I do. I walked into the masjid, let me be conscious. I walk with my right foot. Enter with my right foot. It is a sunnah. I get thawab for it. There's a dua for it. I'm going to exit just now, exit with my left foot. There's a dua for it. I need to be conscious about this. My shoes are there. I put on which one first? I need to be conscious. I put on my right one first. I'm taking it out. I take out my left one first. Same with the socks. Are we doing it unconsciously or consciously? I stand there, I just pull out my socks. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Make sure whatever we do is conscious. We know what we're doing. We're not just passing our time. Like the non-Muslim, they eat, sleep, drink, eat, sleep, drink, eat, sleep, drink, and then they die. That's in one of the psychology textbooks. It was written in one of the subways in London. That's how they sum up their life. Are we going to sum up our life like that? Eat, sleep, drink, eat, sleep, drink, eat, sleep, and then we're going to die? No, we've got a purpose. Allah sent us with a purpose here. Time is running out. I'll give you all one example, one incident. It's a makeup example. There was this one king. And he had no sons. And he was going to die. So he said, I'm going to change the plan of succession. How the next king is going to be chosen. So he called all his ministers and said, this is what I want. When I die, the next king coming in will only rule for 5 years. On the first day of the 6th year, he must be taken to that island there where all the wild animals are. Put him in a ship, boat, put the guard soldiers, royal guard, take him there, leave him there. And that's his end. And the king passed away. They all signed it and said, okay, who wants to be king? There's one guy said, I want to be king. So he said, come. He said, hey, party, palace life, top food. Woman. So the first year when, you know, when shaitan gets you, you don't understand time. He says, hey, the night star is young, suddenly it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like this, his first, second, third year when, 5th year finish on the 6th year, the first day, the guards come there. Hey, king, time to go. You say, what you mean? Say, no, no, you signed that you want to be king. You have to go now. Protesting, they caught him, they put him in a boat, they took him to the island. Left him there, they heard some screams, rose in it. Inna lillah, poor guy was gone. Come back. Who wants to be king now? Guys are a bit skeptical, but you still find those guys that are praying. He says, I want to be king. He goes, he parties even more. Yes. Unlimited money. Why must I ask him? So his time also went in party. 6th year they took him, put him in an island, he also was dead. Now they come back. Who wants to be king? Now the guys are thinking, hey, let's think carefully about this, you know. So one youngster stands up. Say, I want to be king. They told him, hey, you, 5 years will go. You got a long life ahead of you, man. You can study. You can become somebody. The next entrepreneur, top billionaire, millionaire. You can be the top whatever. So he said, no, I want to be. He said, you sure you want to be? No, I want to be king. So they make him king. What he does, the first thing, gets all the hunters together. Puts them on a boat. He says, go to that island. All the wild animals kill them. Those that are not so wild, let's put them in a zoo. Second year, he sends all the farmers there. Say, you know, that island needs some farming. Let's plant some crops. Everything, make it a nice land to stay. Third year, he says, now people need to stay here, inhabit it. Let's build some schools, hospitals, even a house. Hey, fourth year, he says, now we need to make it like a resort. You know, like Atlantis, Dubai. Make it smart. So all the guys want to get their holidays into Dubai. So let's make it like that. And his fifth year, he said, what you are selling, man? Let's build a bridge from this island to the kingdom. Got all his engineers, they build a bridge, everything, they're all okay now. On the first day of the sixth year, the guards come. They say, king, your time's up. Let's go. He say, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome, man. Let's go. You don't have to take the boat. I built a nice flyover. Brothers and respected brothers and elders, our example is exactly the same. Do you want to be like those first two that assume it's a party? Or do you want to prepare that island? That island for us is our year after. That's why I said at the start, has that incident changed us? Has it made us more aware? If it hasn't, then we have to do a hell of a lot of introspection. And if it has, then we need to prioritize our schedule. Or rather better, schedule our priorities. What's my priority? First thing is salah. Nobody knew businesses could close. Ask the guys load shedding time. Now suddenly shut shop. Hey, tells are off, everything's off. The guys can't handle the generator. When it was Zohar Namaz time, normally the guys didn't close. Now 10 to 12, they know. Let's do something else. 2 to 4, let's do something else. Why, they can't do business anymore. No more productive. But when we had the choice to say, let's close salah time, then we find for an excuse, ta'wil. I'll put my non-Muslims in there. So I can go do business. I can go to the masjid. Some of us don't even do that. Respected brothers and elders, that was just on a lighter note. We need to understand what is our purpose of life. Alladhi khalaqal maut, I'll end on this. Alladhi khalaqal maut wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Allah mentions in Surah Mulk, I've created this life. Khalaqal maut, I've created death and I've created life. Liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. So that I may test you. Who from amongst you will do amalu salih? Who will do amalu salih? That is the conscious change that we need to have. We have to go back. Let us be all a shepherd and a guide. All of us have influence here. Do not consider yourself less. You have an influence on your circle. If it's not a big circle, it's a small circle. If you don't have anybody else, it's your family. If you don't have anybody around you, it's yourself. You are mas'ul on your flock. Let us make active, conscious change so that we come into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when tragedy does strike or when we have to pass away, we are happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.